Welcome to Tucson's Future, powered by the Nova Home Loans. I'm Edmund Marquez, happy to be your host here today. In every episode, we talk with the visionary shaping Southern Arizona, our place. From transformative developments to the innovators behind our region's growth, join us as we explore the projects and the people building Tucson's future. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome my good friends and now yours, Paige Rep and Jeff L. to discuss the Sunshine Mile and the Soul Block project, which is a Rio Nuevo deal, which we were happy to be part of. We put out what's called a request for proposal, an RFP, and they responded, plus other developers, and they won the request for proposal, and they developed Soul Block. To go back a step, Rio Nuevo, as Broadway was widened, we did an intergovernmental agreement, an IGA, with the city of Tucson and the RTA to make sure that as they widened Broadway, they didn't tear down all the businesses. That's the sales tax generation. If you look at how they widened Grant, unfortunately, a lot of businesses were displaced. And that's sales tax generation. If you think about your city and whether your city has money or not to invest in your roads or police officers, et cetera, they need an income, and their income is sales tax. So when we got to Broadway, Rio Nuevo, we had four different projects. One of them was the Soul Block. You all won it. Tell us how that works. So I'll just tell you, Paige Rep, fantastic architect here in town. Jeff L. Is the money side of this deal, which is exciting. And we'll talk about a capital stack and we'll talk about a syndication. And by the time we're done, you'll know what that means. So welcome. How you guys doing? And then tell us about Soul Block.
Thank you for having us. This is incredible to be able to talk about what we did there on Broadway. We're so happy to be part of the revitalization of Broadway and knowing what that, you know, the future of that corridor will be. Soul Block was a unique opportunity for us to restore something back to its former glory and really make that portion of Tucson a more vibrant place.
Yeah, not just restore. I mean, they crushed it. Rhett McLean, from design to execution, start to finish, and you can ask anybody who's been there, any of the actual tenants that are there, the patrons who come by there, they hit it out of the park with that project.
Yeah, so they said the word historic, so I'm going to give you a perspective on historic. So historic, very cool, right? So we don't ever want to lose touch with our culture in the city of Tucson, and those are mid-century modern properties. So from the developer's perspective, that's character, right? It's not a cookie cutter, not a Starbucks going up on the corner, et cetera. So you have to maintain your historical integrity. However, as a developer, when you deal with historic properties, historic can also mean pain in the butt. So it's really difficult as you deal with historic properties. What were the challenges as you got into Soul Block? Yeah, no, I heard the oof. We could all stand up and hug right now. So tell me, so let me just tell you, of the four projects, they're the ones that have gotten theirs done so far. We don't have the three other projects online yet because of the historical ramifications, right? Mm-hmm. Significant. So what were the challenges?
I think everything is a challenge from the beginning when you talk about an existing building on a historic site that maybe isn't conforming to current standards. So it starts from parking, it starts from setbacks, it starts from density, it starts from access, ADA access, drainage. Every single thing that could be a problem is amplified on an existing building, on an existing site that has to maintain a historic status. That being said, having to maintain historic actually is an incredible challenge, an incredible opportunity to revive something, bring something back to life that used to be an amazing feature on Broadway. And I think what we've done there has really brought it back to that life. It's going to give it life for another 100 years, and it's made for a very vibrant plaza.
So a lot of people watching are realtors, mortgage brokers, et cetera. So you're aware of zoning, right? You know how a home is zoned, right? So there's two different tools that you can use, and one was used on this, but you can either have an individual property zoned, or if you have an area, you can do a PAD, planned area development, or in this case, with Rio Nuevo, the entire Sunshine Mile, we did what's called an overlay. So we basically gave an optional zoning down Broadway, which you can opt into that zoning as long as you played ball with the historical folks. That's about the nicest way to put it.
Yeah.
And they did, and they figured it out. And so what's important is when you look at a city and they widen Broadway, The issue is, or the challenge is, when you widen a street, you take out the parking in the front of the property. So if you look at traditional zoning, you have to have a certain number of parking spots per the building that you are renovating. And as soon as you pull a permit, you now are stuck with what the city of Tucson requires in regards to parking. So when you have the overlay, you can opt into the overlay. How creative were you? Because I don't think you knocked down any of the property. I think you hollowed out a unit.
Right. To the units.
But just hollowed out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we were very creative. We used every trick in the book, and we, you know, tried to utilize every square inch of that site. And so the existing building, what was it, 26,000 square feet-ish, somewhere in that zone. We ended up utilizing two of the existing spaces that were maybe less desirable, lower ceiling heights and that kind of thing. We hollowed those out to make what we call pocket patios. So it makes it so that four spaces inside the building really get to take advantage of having their own private patios. And it made it so that by taking out that additional square footage, which was maybe 2,000 square feet, it made it so that our site parks. It works within the city of Tucson code, but we have one extra parking space on the entire site. I think the minimums for parking are there for a reason and that kind of thing. But, you know, when you're redeveloping something in the interior core, it's very difficult to find enough space and capture enough space. And so that tool that you're talking about, the overlay, made it possible for us to do this. If this had been a brand new development somewhere else, we couldn't have made it work. It was that tool that the city allowed us to, for instance, one whole row of our parking on the north side of the project is allowed to back into the alley. And it's all a shared access way. And this is done in other parts of town, but it's no longer allowed. It's only allowed because of the overlay. So the work that Rio Nuevo did and the folks that put together that overlay in advance made what we did possible. And we're hoping that it's successful on the other projects that you guys have
going. So let's go back a step. I was like going back a step because I want everyone to understand kind of what we're talking about. So what they developed, I would call a high level kung fu. Like it was difficult what you all did. There's a reason why the three other deals aren't done yet. And sometimes people drive down Broadway and go, hey man, like, hey Rio Nuevo, why aren't you done with those deals yet? It is high level kung fu. So
it's because they didn't hire us.
I'll agree with you. Like if I can, no offense to the others, if I could pass them on to Larson Baker a lot of times, I'd be like, please take this deal, please, because you'll get it done. So how does a deal like this come together? I mean, first you have the experience of Larson Baker George Larson's a legend. When you have Rep McLean, they're such a great architectural firm. Jeff and I ride bikes together. I literally stopped the cycling group one day at Sunrise and Campbell. You had just redeveloped that. What do you guys call that? Not the Charles Schwab, but the other one.
That one is
the Art Gallery or something.
Gallery Row.
So right in front of Ivachi, when you see that brand new development, it was an old property that had no sexiness, and they redeveloped it so beautiful. I literally took our bike ride to the front of that property so I could get off in my bike shoes and walk around because you did such a great job. Even the Charles Schwab building across the street in front of La Encantada, amazing. So you do an amazing job. But all of this doesn't happen without money. So I mentioned capital stack and I mentioned syndication. Hopefully I'm not putting you too much on the spot and you can fully explain those. So Jeff, explain to us what a capital stack is. How do you get enough money to do the deal, right? How do you make money? So what's the capital stack, and then explain the syndication part.
Yeah, and if we could step back just a little bit before that, how we put this all together as far as the team goes. My business partner, Chris Ambrosio, and I were with Ambro Capital, and we saw the RFP. And we said, we want to do this. This is an incredible opportunity, historic redevelopment. And we want to put together a dream team. So that's when we called Rick McLean, Paige's partner, and we said, hey, we want you guys involved. There's nobody else we would want to work with on this type of project. And then we go to Larson & Baker. As you mentioned, I mean, their reputation, George Larson, he was my mentor back in like 2012, and Melissa Lull. And we said, that's the dream team. We'll help put together the money. My business partner, Chris, is a really successful business attorney, and he does contracts, you know, in his sleep. So putting that dream team together, then we get to the capital, right? Then we say, okay, now we've got the proposal for you guys for Rio Nuevo, and now we have to go out and we have to fund it. So each of us split up the responsibility for how much capital we bring into the table, and then each of our entities raise those funds with our own individual investors, and then we brought that money to the table.
Oh, that's interesting.
As each group.
So, I didn't know you guys did
so
that.
So we split that up so that not just responsible.
Well, it's not like I have all that money.
No, I know, but the fact
I mean, I expected Pager to come to the table with the cash. Right?
You all contributed to your stack, which is really nice. Everyone takes some lift on
and
that.
And the other piece of that too is we each of us individually as those entities, we put our own money in with our investors, right? Yeah. So we're invested with our investors as well.
Very nice. Yeah. Everyone likes to see skin in the game.
Yep.
So going back to Soulblock, I will admit I was a bad boy and I didn't go walk it until like 2 weeks ago. And how long has it been open?
6 months, 9 months.
A year. Have we been a year now?
And to my defense, it's basically Rocco's pizza, which is amazing. And I don't eat a lot of carbohydrates because I come from a short, fat family. So I just did not go in the middle of the day to go have a carb bomb, but I'm sure it's delicious.
It's amazing.
But I finally walked it and I text Melissa and Isaac at Larson Baker and said, oh my gosh, every detail of that property is legit. Like, you guys did a great job. And so why do we care as Renuevo? Why do we care? Well, before it was a semi-dilapidated historical property that had like the El Tour office and some other little kind of
semi-dilapidated.
All right, so kind of some retail in there, but it didn't generate any sales tax. So we at Renuevo, we are attracted to sales tax generation. The more sales tax we generate, the more income we get, the more we can invest back into our community. So we cared about that. So now, if you look at the Soulblock, it is pumping out sales tax. It is an absolute beautiful Renuevo deal. So if you haven't been there, please go there. Go to Rocco's. Acai just opened there.
Quisties is right.
What is it?
Quisties.
Quisties.
Sandwich and salads.
Oh, okay, yep. There you go.
Right across from Broadway Beer. Okay. Across the Pocket Patio.
That's right, you got Broadway Beer. I walked to the Pocket Patio, very cool. Yeah. And I walked into Acai the day that it was opening.
Oh, nice.
So I'm so proud of these guys. They did such a great job with Soulblock. It's fantastic. I want to shift just because, and it's not part of the agenda, but I just know your other projects. So Jeff called me. I was at the airport. Asked me to invest. I was conflicted because of Renuevo, and I was super jealous that I didn't get on the deal. But I don't think it's a secret. It's not a secret. It hit the newspaper. They are bringing Shake Shack to Campbell, just south of Glen, which is a massive freaking deal.
South of Fort Lowell.
South of Fort Lowell.
It's the closer offices we could get.
I mean, yeah, thank you.
You can walk there.
So let's talk selfishly. So it's close to my office. You've just improved the value of my property by bringing in a first-class Larson Baker development and a Shake Shack. Shake Shack, we have to see it as a badge of honor. I think some locals are going to beat the crap out of you because you're bringing a national brand in. It is what it is, but it is an amazing, it's like a badge of honor to get a Shake Shack. It means your economy's pumping enough that they even care to put one in your community. So very excited it's coming. So tell us about that project just from Mile High, and then what, it's not just a Shake Shack. There's more going into that property. How's that going?
Yeah, and let's talk about, I mean, there has to be a healthy balance of national brands in our market. And local.
I totally agree.
So with Soulblock, we did 17 individual units, and all 17 are local business owners. So you talk about not just your sales tax when you're talking about that money, but the money's going back, all that money's going back into our market. Mm-hmm. With all those local business owners that are tenants in our project, they're all putting that money back into Tucson.
Yes.
So you talk about the Renuevo putting sales tax money back into the market, but then, you extrapolate that out with the impact that we really made with that project, and it's amazing. So then, yes, we don't feel too guilty about bringing a national brand on Campbell because—
I thank you for it.
Yeah, because Campbell is really, it's the new restaurant row.
Yeah, I mean, you got Doughbird, you have Flower Child.
Right. Chop House?
Oh, original Chop Shop.
Chop Shop.
That's
Chop
a Larson
Shop.
Baker
yep.
deal?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep.
I thanked George for increasing my property value of that one too, so thank you.
Yeah.
And for clarity, Campbell's not in the Renuevo district. So it has nothing to do with Renuevo. Yeah. So,
I'll just talk about the location, and then obviously Paige is going to has way more information about the actual project, the construction, and how far we are along with that. But we took an old, again, dilapidated,
horrible building.
It was tired.
Multi-storied on the back end.
Yeah.
It was a yarn place.
Yeah,
it was fabric place.
Yeah. Fabric
fabrics
place.
That go.
My mom used to take me there like in the 70s to buy fabric. Not for my clothes.
They're still in our market. They just moved down the street.
Yeah,
but
great business, just old property.
Yeah. So they were leaving, and Larson Baker, our partner on Solblock, reached out and said, hey, we've got an opportunity to take this down. Are you guys interested? And of course, let's get the dream team back together after a successful Solblock project. So we did, and we looked at, could we redevelop this existing building like we did with Solblock, or do we really need to sort of tear it down and start fresh?
We needed to tear it down.
Everything about the building was just functionally obsolete. You know, the AC was shot, plumbing shot, electrical was undersized.
I'm feeling asbestos.
Parking lot didn't work. The asbestos was actually pretty minor. There was one small spot on one of the patios.
What year was that built?
It was probably built in the 50s.
I was going to say 60s, but
It wasn't historically designated?
It was not historically designated. It was over 50 years old. It was like 51 years old. So it must have been in the 60s.
Okay, yeah,
but 60s. There was no historic designation.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah. And so the new building, it's under construction right now. We're going vertical right now. We got steel columns up. Walls are going up. Starting some of the horizontal flat work on the concrete. And we expect that shell to really take shape, you know, first quarter of next year.
When will Shake Shack be open? And then what's going in with it? Or do you have those tenants yet?
We have the tenants, but we can't announce them yet.
You can. I mean, we're cool with it. Like, it won't bother us.
Nobody else is watching, right? It's just us.
We're all got a green light from the producer. We're good. Go for it.
It's just us.
These aren't even on, man.
Shake Shack will probably start on their TI, I would say, late first quarter of 26. And then I would assume they'd be open by summer.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we do have other tenants. Are you 100% occupied?
So we've got three units total with Shake Shack. So two additional.
Shake Shack on the Campbell side? Are they closest to Campbell? Correct. Okay, cool. That's fantastic.
We have one of the other suites taken, and the other one is we're still marketing.
We have an LOI. We're just still working on the details. So back and forth right now.
Nice. Okay, and there's a third project that I'm going to surprise them. I know way more about than they think I probably know. So, and I'll thank you. I'll actually drop some names in this. So I am very familiar with this property, and I know that Grant Kruger had it in, he had it in escrow forever. Mm-hmm. And it's the Chase Bank just south of where they're going. This is Chase Bank closer to Campbell. This one is south of Glen. This is—
We're making nice stuff on both sides of your office.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. And by the way, before I bought my office, and I own 11,000 square feet on Campbell, I had gone, just like Jeff had mentored with George Larson, I had gone as well to the Oracle and said, I would like to expand my office footprint. And he said, where would you like to be? And I said, I want to be on Campbell. He's like, why? I'm like, that's just like the greatest street. And he said, it's picked through. There's nothing left. And I'm like, okay. And I hired a realtor who ended up just knocking doors and finding a place for sale. And I bought 2019. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I'm so happy to be there. And thank you again for improving the value of my property. So the Chase Bank, which is across from the Jeremiah's Ice Cream Gelato.
So just north of Grant.
Yes.
On the west side of
Grant. Yes.
Yep.
So Chase Bank, right? Bank's no longer there. Empty property, still has the safe inside, et cetera. Grant and I walked the property. Big property, those 6,000 square feet maybe? 7,000 square feet. I know it's got a zoning issue or a zoning challenge, maybe.
We think we solved it yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Are you allowed to say that on this? Are you allowed to tell me how?
I can say we think we solved it.
Oh, damn. Okay. So I will just say, as an example, my office complex on Campbell, there's two buildings, and that equals 11,000 square feet. And one building, it's grandfathered in, so I can say it out loud, they built to the property line. There is no setback.
Yeah.
They literally built. You can see like throughout the years how they kept building onto my building all the way to the property line. You can't do that. You have to have a setback typically. And then there's a parking lot in the back. And the parking lot is zoned residential. And my building is zoned commercial. So you have
the exact same issue.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to throw that out for you guys. Yeah. But so I'm grandfathered. I checked with the city of Tucson. I'm good. We did some revisions to my my property map, whatever, how I pay property tax, et cetera. They helped me out. City of Tucson was very good. So what's the plans at the Chase Bank? What are you going to do there?
We're just going through the process with the city to make sure everything that we want to do, it'll park. It will work for future restaurant use. We believe it'll be too large scale. Restaurants, we don't have tenants yet, but we are currently marketing it.
So what's interesting, and maybe you can hint to me, so my take when I knew about the zoning in the back of that property, my first take was they would go office, Because if you go office, you don't have to have as much parking required. There's a smaller parking requirement. They just mentioned two restaurants. So maybe one would be breakfast and the other one might be dinner, where it shares parking lots and that it has different hours. So you can, if you look at like Snooze AM and what's the thing next to it? The wine place.
Postino.
Yep. If you look at Snooze AM and Postino and you look at what George Larson did at that property, I said, George, how'd you get two restaurants with a lot of retail, like service barbers in between it? How did you do that? George is all about parking. So he said, well, Snooze will park in the morning, Postino will park in the evening. I'm like, I get it. So maybe that's happening there. Interesting, you're going to a restaurant.
Possible.
Yeah, I mean, parking is, I mean, that's usually the
It actually works from a Tucson code standpoint. And again, this is a new tool that the city has come up with. The CCT, is that what it's called?
Yep.
The CCT allows some flexibility in certain areas. And it's very minor flexibility. It's not anything near what was allowed in the Rio Nuevo overlay district, but it does allow some flexibility. And that flexibility gets us within code. Actually, we exceed code with what we're trying to do.
Wow.
So, which is amazing. Like it's always, you know, something that you don't want to bring something into a neighborhood where you know going in that you're going to have a massive impact on the neighbors and that kind of thing. You want to know that you're developing by right and you're doing it properly. The impact you have on the neighborhood is going to be as minimal as possible, because we care about the neighbors. We care about everybody that lives around there. We want to improve. We don't want to create a nuisance by, you know, because they're depending on how you look at rules and zoning and that kind of thing. There are always tricks you can employ to make one thing work and maybe not necessarily something else. So you could, in certain instances, maybe open a building that you know doesn't have enough parking, and you're just like, it's just going to be somebody else's problem down the road. We go out of our way to make sure that we solve that problem up front.
You solved it quick. Solved it quick. Great job. So
it's so critical for it to be solved immediately.
You have to
solve it immediately, or you can't really go forward.
Carrying costs. Yeah. Carrying costs is when you own the property and it has no income. You're just carrying the property. I'm going to say something kind of controversial. I've said it on stage a couple of times. I firmly believe that Tucson is under redeveloped. So just because a property is over 50 years old doesn't mean it's historic. Some of them are not built that well. I mean, I'll tell you, we tore down a...
Over 50. I'm not historic.
I'm historic. I'm
He's a legend.
I know. You are a legend, baby. But we tore down a dilapidated property on Broadway. People started coming out of the woodwork a little bit to protest us tearing down something. And then we explained it used to be a Whataburger, and it's not that historic. And we ended up tearing it down and making a parking lot. Now Zamoms is able to function properly. Yeah. And now we're bringing in Cal's Bake Shop in that space. And then it's right next to Soul Block. It's just a win-win-win.
Yeah.
But imagine if we'd have gotten blocked from tearing down an old Whataburger. Yeah. I mean, it was not even a nice Whataburger. So I really appreciate what they're doing. We have to continue to develop properties. There's some properties like the Chase building. It's going to maintain that integrity of a 1965 Chase, whenever that thing was built, maybe early 70s. But we will maintain that. At the same time, you look at the Fabric Store, you got to tear that thing down.
Yeah.
It was not a nice property. And what was crazy is the farther you drove away from Campbell towards that property and you saw the back end of that property,
it got worse and worse.
It was horrible. Yeah. So, we're going to get a Shake Shack and two other businesses. So, I'm going to pivot because in Rio Nuevo, Paige is arguably, I'm going to just say, the best architect in town. I'm just going to throw it out. You're amazing, man. You really are. I love your work. Like, I love, like, even with that bank area on Ina and Oracle, where there's the bank now, and then you have the cold beer and cheeseburger. That's beautiful. You did a great job. They literally took like slats that you'd put like on the ground for like a porch on the wall. Am I reading that right? Because you have those slats.
Where cold beer and cheeseburgers is?
To the right of that. You do those slats on the wall?
Across the way.
Those are like slats you'd use for like a porch. He puts them on the side of the building and it looks modern. Like, that's cool, man. That's super cool. So, but I didn't meet him as an architect. I met him as the guy that brought dusk to downtown. And I just recently was hanging out with Shaquille O'Neal, thanks to you. And I got a picture of him. I literally look like I'm his child or one of his thirds or something. I'm like this little thing on the side. And I'm literally like, his boob is here. This dude is so big. So thank you for bringing Shaquille O'Neal.
No problem.
Dusk. How did you get into it? I don't know any of the performers. I listen to like classical music in 80s and 90s. So like, what the hell? And how did you build that? And wow, is it big?
Dusk is an interesting story. It's just something when I was in school, in college, I would always throw parties and I would love to play music for everybody. My dad was into music. He took me to concerts all the time.
Were you making money in college, working the door?
No.
You were charging money?
This is at my house.
Oh, okay.
House parties. And so I always loved to do that. And then as I would get older, I would just, the parties would evolve. And then one year I was working at Hotel Congress and we were redoing the Cup Cafe at the time. I was waiting in the office and somebody came in and they're like, oh, our DJ for tonight canceled. I'm like, what? I'll do it. Like, what music is it? They're like, oh, it's 90s and today. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And they're like, do you know what you're doing? I'm like, yeah, I could do it. I'd never done it before in my life. And so that was the very first time I ever got to use professional DJ equipment. And so it was that night, there were probably 500-600 people showed up. I crushed it. It was awesome.
Nice.
A great time. And this is right before I turned 30. And so my friends and my girlfriend at the time, she's now my wife, they got everybody together and they're like, we're all going to chip in and get you a gift certificate to the DJ store. And that was Chicago Music Store down here downtown. And it was $600. They got together and I'm like, and at that point, the itch had already passed. I'm like, I have no interest in doing this. I'll never use this. And literally 20 days later, I was probably in $20,000. I had giant speakers, lasers, everything. And so then I had to turn it into a business, started DJing weddings and then doing parties that got bigger and bigger and bigger. I ended up doing a party that was maybe, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people for Roche Diagnostics. And I did video for that. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun doing it. And then, out of the blue, somebody called me, my friend Curtis, who used to run Rialto Theater. He called and he's like, hey, we're thinking about putting a group together to form a music festival. We think you'd be perfect for it. I didn't ask any questions. I just said, yeah, I'm in. Next day, I met John Rallis and I met Steve Stratigoulias. And then I brought my friend Pete.
Is Steve part of it?
He was initially. He was a founder initially. And then blink of an eye, 9 years later, here we are. That first year, you know, you say to become an expert at something, you have to put in 10,000 hours of time. I put my 10,000 hours that first year.
Yeah.
Invented it all from scratch, designed the whole thing from scratch. I had to book the talent, had to talk to agents, had to learn all those things. And when you're starting off, those agents and that kind of thing, they don't really treat you with a ton of respect. And so you got to earn it and you know, pay people right over time. But initially, those at the beginning, you pay everybody and everything up front.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's very capital
intensive. How many years has it happened now?
This will be our ninth year.
And how many people do you think have attended over the 9 years?
Over the 9 years, probably 150,000 people.
What do you think the economic impact's been over the last 9 years?
Oh, it's significant. This year, it's going to be almost $6 million. And so if you...
Budget or economic impact?
Economic impact.
Nice.
Yeah.
And right. Rianueva, we invest in it. I think we put $125,000.
100 in this year.
Oh, $100,000. Yep. That's right. Yep. We put $100,000 in a year. No way. I just backed him down from 125. We've saved $25,000.
Save money.
Yeah. Thank
save
you. But thank you for doing that. I totally went off topic with that. But when is the Dusk Festival?
November 15th and 16th. And then
so we've right got after your birthday.
Right after my birthday.
Man, right before mine.
The last few years, it's been on my birthday. So I'm happy it's not on my birthday.
This year. Who, I don't know any of the performers, but just throw, who's the biggest performer? You brought Steve Aoki.
We had Steve Aoki.
And who's coming this year?
Our biggest artist this year is probably Levity or Loud Luxury or maybe G-Eazy.
Do you know any of those people?
No.
Not me either. Yeah. But congratulations, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
It is a blast.
I just nod my head. I just go like this when I go. I don't know what they're saying.
You don't even have, like, the energy just
if you go, it's just the most incredible transformation.
Is it a drug-free audience?
Yes.
You're lying. Okay. Anyway, that's all right. We're good.
Free drugs or you said
free drugs and you said yes. Okay, good. All right. Well, I'm going to cut it there. So this has been fun. I promise you, we've probably gone way over. I could talk to you guys for another hour. But Jeff L, Page Rep, they're fantastic. Soul Block, Shake Shack, Chase Bank that's becoming two restaurants, and you can get free drugs at Dusk. I'm just kidding. All right. And that is it for this episode of Tucson's Future. I'm probably not going to be invited back. Presented by Nova Home Loans. I'm Edmund Marquez. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow your favorite podcast platform and share with others who care about the future of Tucson and our community. For more insights and stories, visit novahomeloans.com. So thank you very much, guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.